So I watched Cobra Kai for the first time in December, seasons 1 and 2. Loved it. After years of Robert
begging me. You're welcome. You're welcome.
I remember when you first came, reached out to me. You're like, yo, Josh, you have to watch this cool show called Cobra Kai. Karate. I don't even think you mentioned the karate. Actually, you definitely did. I think I was half aware of that.
Pretty self-explanatory.
That's also fair. I was. Yeah. What? The show's about Karate Kid parody?
It's like, what? Dale LaRusso's in this?
Cobra Kai's the dojo that Johnny was at.
Oh, I get it now.
But you also sent me like this really shady Google Drive thing to that had all the episodes
No,
on
it was legal. I had YouTube Premium.
Yeah, it was on YouTube at the time.
Yeah, but then Netflix got it, and it became the most popular show ever because, you know, it actually gave them a platform where people could actually watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. To pay,
like, a monthly fee and a subscription service that no one has.
So, yeah. So that I blame the shifty Google Drive for kind of dissuading me at the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I love the show. I love trashy teen drama. I love nostalgia. Season 3 was great.
Yeah.
What I think, let's just start with what makes the show work is – the arc through season 1 is beautifully crafted, where you have basically Johnny playing the Daniel role. Not even. You have Johnny playing the Kreese role and Miguel playing the Daniel role. We know. You have Johnny. Johnny's like if Mr. Miyagi and Superman had a baby and then was corrupted by Rob Lowe from the movie Bad Influence, if you will.
Wait, is he a bad influence in that movie?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, well, spoil it. Damn it, Joshua.
Anyway, sorry. To get back to the point. Yeah, you have Johnny basically...
I would say...
just you talk.
I will save your butt here and explain everything perfectly and succinctly. So in season 1, it's very reminiscent of the roles reversing between Johnny and Daniel.
Yeah.
And previously, Johnny was a rich kid who had everything.
Thank you.
But on this time, he's living in Reseda. He doesn't have a lot of money. He has a crappy job.
Yeah.
He's sad with his life. But what I think really makes the show good is that it's a father-son story. And that's evident between everything. Everything Johnny does is because of his stepdad. He had that real nice life as a teenager, but he lost his dad early on. I think he left.
Yeah.
And basically he got a stepdad who gave him really nothing.
Yeah, treated him like garbage.
Yeah. And we can see how he flowed to Kreese as a father figure and how important that he was to his life. And when Kreese, you know, when he did what he did, breaking his trophy and breaking his heart at the same time, that really, you know, put Johnny in a downward spiral, and he spent a lot of his life partying and not really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when he, you know, got his girlfriend pregnant, he was a very bad dad, and he kind of ran away from his problems instead of confronting them.
Yeah, the whole show basically is predicated, like you said, on these father-son relationships, on family. You see it in everything, really. And it really shows, I think, the influence that these parental figures, even just adult figures, but parental figures can have on our lives, right? You see, like, Hawk's character, for example, through season 1 and 2, how he's searching basically for belonging. He's been bullied all his life, like every character in every movie who's been bullied in as an excuse for being bad. But you really do sympathize with him as a bit, because he the moment he gets any sort of bit of power or acceptance, he abuses it in a sense, right?
Yeah, he's scared that things are going to go back to where it was.
Yeah, exactly. So he's fighting furiously to keep it no matter what, even if it becomes the monster that he hated the most, or that.
Yeah, he becomes the bully. And I feel like, when we're talking about, I love Hawk's character.
It's cool.
Like, it's a classic first season of the kind of like the nerd who was bullied, and then he flips the script and gets a cool mohawk and a tattoo, and everything's perfect. But in season 2, what they did with this character, and what they did with the entire show, season 1 is a pretty cut and paste of the first movie, but the roles reversed, and then they go into the extra fun stuff of exploring Johnny's relationship. I say that as a benefit. That they did a reboot and homage to the first one, and leads up to the tournament and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the second season, I feel like that's where they really hit their stride. Like, I like the third season, but the second season was shocking and amazing, because they turned it into a Karate Kid to just a straight up gang war karate dojo fighting in the streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the last episode of season 2 speaks for itself. It's probably the best episode. Like,
so fun.
Like even though, like, they have a really good episodes in this season, like, I don't think they ever reached that real last episode of season 2 point.
I think so. And I think that's kind of what you have to do to some sense. You can't really, it's difficult to create those flashpoint moments, right? Mm. You, especially since you're clearly building up something bigger in season 4, the tournament. And I think that they had enough of a punch in that last season 2 episode. Oh, wait. Are we talking about season 3?
Well, we're talking about season.
Sorry,
three
yeah,
as well. I'm just processing it.
No, I think they had enough of that punch in that last season three episode where we see Johnny and Daniel come together, and that really fills me at least with excitement and like, damn, let's go season four.
I can feel it coming.
Yeah. The best was at the end of season two, where after the fight, where Johnny's like on the beach and they play the Cruel Summer,
Summer
cover.
Awesome,
very good. Not as good as Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift, but almost.
Almost there.
Another point that I wanted to bring up was we talked about the influence of adults on the youth and parental roles, kind of how that is a major theme throughout the show. The past, I think. Mm. The past is another big one. And it's a pretty obvious trope in a sense, and sometimes it can get a bit dry when you overuse it. But we see even how, especially how Johnny and Daniel, much like many adults that I'm sure we all know in our life, just cling to the past like crazy, and they can't move past things that have happened years and years and years ago, right? So I'm hoping at the end of season three, at least, we see them finally, especially with Allie. I think when Allie came, that served as a function basically to say,
the past is the past.
Yeah.
The past is dead.
No,
you have to kill it if you have to.
No, but the past is the past. We're moving forward. We're not going to be bound necessarily by things that happened before. And we saw that as well, I think, when Daniel went to Japan and saw the characters from the Karate Kid 2 and kind of made peace with them in a sense, right?
I like that point though, because basically, like, in the first season, they're living their past. Daniel, his whole life has been built around this karate thing. Like, like his catchphrase is kicking the competition. Like, he gives out bonsai trees because he's so into the past that whenever at the tournament stuff, he's known for that kick. That kick made his life. That's why he's a celebrity
in a sense,
in this town. And Johnny, he lives in the past. Like, he lives for the glory days when he was a teenager who... He's very like, his character is someone of like who doesn't understand like the current like politically correct terms for stuff, and he's very old. He doesn't know technology and all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
And we have the new characters, which have all been really good. You'd think in a show like this that the new characters be like, oh yeah, it's annoying kids again, but no, they're all great because they're just all
so what
crazy
in this third season you're speaking about.
Just in general, but let's talk more about the third season. I want to talk about Miguel, who is literally like at the same, like,
he's a sweet boy.
He's a good boy.
He's a good kid.
He's a good kid. But
I love he and Sam's passionate love. I'm glad they got back together.
Okay, so you're like a Sam Miguel person more than Sam Robbie person.
I'm a Seagal.
Yeah, you're Seagal.
I would agree with that. We'll jump into that later. But you were saying about Miguel.
I feel like his kind of like, I'm really surprised they actually like went for, because last season cliffhanger like because last season with the cliffhanger, Miguel being thrown off the stairs, he's gonna be alive. What's gonna happen?
Right.
They end up being paralyzed, and I think it's such an like really emotional journey for him. They really do get into some really heavy stuff about like, is he ever gonna walk again? And like kind of the financial strain that he does really have because America, unlike Canada, no free healthcare. Sorry about that.
We have our own problems.
But basically, I just like this one scene where like I felt like okay, this season did it. Like this season, it isn't just like a cop out. Like this season really got me was when they went to the Rock concert.
Oh, you like that?
And Miguel was just tapping his foot. Like that's the scene where it's just like, oh, because I brought back the basics.
I saw you tear up a little bit during that scene.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw you cry a little bit. It's okay. I'll do it.
I was just cutting some onions.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely.
Yeah. Just cutting some onions.
When Stingray at the end of season two came in school, I will admit I cried a little bit.
Yeah, okay, it's so sad. Yo, they wrote Stingray out of the show. Literally, I said previously, Stingray is my favorite character. We need more Stingray. But they wrote him out of the show. He got a restraining order of being anywhere near a child.
Yeah.
Because he just walked into a school and started beating up
children.
It doesn't
make sense. So to that point, they showed it a lot of smart things which avoided annoying kind of like plot holes. So for example, they took it slow with Miguel's recovery. Mm-hmm. They didn't make it an instant comeback thing, which is good. It's realistic, right? In a sense. As realistic as it can be without it being ridiculous, because you do want him to come back at some point. And I liked at the end where he was hobbled, injured, still like he's still recovering, right? But he still like beat up the bully, which terrorized him in season one, right?
Yeah.
Another thing they did that was really smart was with the
well, even bringing back those bullies from season one, like
yeah, that was good. I like that.
And it adds a new thing for Hawk and kind of his character development.
Right. He's like, what am I becoming? Right.
Yeah.
Right. So another thing they did smart was kind of having the All Valley tournament maybe be canceled. There was consequences that were clear after the fight, which is true because that was a massive fight at a school, a seemingly like good, quote unquote, good school. So it's clear that there'd be consequences in the real world, right?
Even consequences for like Daniel's business. Like, even though he got the deal at the end of the season, like people are still hesitant to, you know, go into business because he's so affiliated with karate. Mm-hmm. And one of the main people was his daughter.
Yeah, and we saw Sam's trauma as well throughout the season, right? How she was affected by that. Because these are really just kids too, right? Mm-hmm. And like we see the influence that parental roles have on them, the stupid decisions they make because they're really just kids, which is important to impress on the audience and kind of display that, right?
Exactly. Karate cult fighting isn't cool. You know? Don't do it, kids. We definitely weren't, you know, like fighting on top of like a bridge over a pit of snakes before this. Definitely not.
No, not at all. And speaking of a bridge and pit of snakes, let's get into Kreese and his journey throughout this season.
Yeah, Kreese has always been kind of a secretive character. Like season one, they were kind of going to some things of, like, did he actually go to, like, war?
Right.
Because, like, there was all the things in the gal's like, oh, yeah, I thought, you know, the Vietnamese weren't in this during that year or something. Yeah. But they go back and they tell us kind of dramatic backstory, being, like, a busboy and going into the army. It's like kind of, like, it feels like kind of like an old war movie embedded in that show, but it works so well for explaining who Kreese is and what he is. It's very 80s cheesy. It's like, oh yeah, you know, you're the best soldier we got, kid, and you're gonna be part of an elite force, so training myself and hand-to-hand combat guerrilla style warfare, so you're all of it, kid,
for sure.
You went for it. Yeah, it's how I actually got you to do the podcast. I'm like, hey Joshua, it's podcast time. I give you the world. I can show it all to you, you know. Just I training myself. I got my own mic, do it in my mom's basement, it'll be fun.
Yeah, but it speaks to the fact that he was kind of that kid. We saw a bit that he was bullied, but he was able to hold his own in a sense. But I think it's clear that he had, I'm not sure whether the army commander was necessarily a parental role, but it shows how he was in an impossible situation. That one moment or those moments there defined him the rest of his life, which is interesting. You might say, what are you talking about? That was like a week in his life. But that's like a life or death scenario. You see your soldiers, people you go into combat with, your friends and whatnot, be senselessly killed for whatever and whatnot.
Yeah, it's trauma. Like literally, like getting people to like kill each other for their entertainment.
I can see how that can necessarily scar a person for their life. Obviously not. I can see how that can lead to his behavior in a sense. And I think that lends more credence to the fact that what he thinks he's doing is right. He thinks that he's really preparing these kids for the real world, right?
Yeah.
Which
he knows the real world is hard and stuff. Like, even like the army commander, he was hiding the letters that his girlfriend was sending him.
Yeah.
He was taking that away from him, like providing kind of more kind of psychological mind games. And I'm really like, they seem they're going to be going into this more by bringing back one of his army buddies to the next season.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting how that person plays into it.
Right. Because I think that another thing to understand too is that his perspective of what the real world is that moment at that army camp, at that POW camp, basically, where they're having to fight for their lives and see their fight people that they care about, right? Or their soldiers, but just to live, right?
Exactly.
So I think that's kind of warped into his reality. That's warped into what he sees as his definition of the real world in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. So it certainly was interesting to get some of that backstory and not have it be heavy-handed, just give us a bit more explanation. And I definitely think it lends well to the character.
Yeah. Speaking of season four predictions and stuff, but I want to talk about Robbie a bit before we get there.
I was just about to say, let's talk about his arc throughout the season and what we think is going to go forward.
Because, like, this kid, I feel so bad for this kid, man. Like, he had such a rough childhood. Like, he got crime. He finally got to somewhere good, and then he messed it up by, you know, diving into that anger he has and, you know, kicking Miguel off the steps. Like, it's insane to me, though. There's like the only
he didn't intend to.
Yeah, he didn't intend to, like, paralyze him or hurt him. It was a sense of emotion. Like,
right.
And it sucks because he was trying to break the fight at the beginning.
Yeah.
And Miguel incited him and, like, all these
things happened. They're both good kids, right? Yeah, Miguel and good Robbie. Kids. It's sad. But yeah, certainly number one, I just want to say that Daniel's such an idiot.
Literally.
Like when he went with him at the rehab center and then he called the cops, dude, you're this guy's pseudo father. You have to be on his side. You have to trust that you can work with him and be like, look, you're going to turn yourself in. This is the best thing. You can't betray him like that. That's just a violation of trust. Even if it's the right thing as a parent, you're betraying your child's trust. I don't think that that's the right thing. You have to be with your child. You can't. It's a betrayal in a sense.
Parent advice by Joshua.
Yeah, for sure. The last thing you want to do is foster any mistrust with your child. You want to be fair in a sense, right? Obviously, you have to do his best for them, but you have to. And he tried to like explain this is what's best for you or not, but I felt that that's a massive betrayal. You have to work. You have to work with him and say, look, you have to see. Tell him that this is the best thing.
Exactly, but honestly, I kind of. Okay, can I say one thing? They did such an amazing job with this. Like, honestly, they did the impossible, Joshua, with this character. They somehow made his hair even better.
Yeah.
Yo, his hair this season. Wow. Oh, like, honestly, like, I'm growing mine out to copy it right now.
Absolutely.
Like, because season one and two, he had this, like, weird but lovable hair. It was, like, very, I don't know what year. Just, like, it was this, like, kind of hair that went, like, around his face that you can kind of, like, put up in a bun.
Yeah.
And then, like, this season, like, because all we saw with him in the trailers was, like, him with, like, the Ezra Miller hair from Crimes of Grindelwald. Like the weird, scruffy,
kind of the fringe around the forehead.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, what the hell is this? And then he goes in the prison, he has his, like, sleek back hair, and it's like, oh my god, this is beautiful.
Yeah, oh my god.
Best season.
I love just seeing...
That's the moment I realized that this season's the best.
Yeah.
Screw the emotional moments of Miguel.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, that's the moment.
It's almost like a Kylo Ren type scenario where his father figures Johnny and Daniel keep betraying him, much like Luke quote unquote betrayed Kylo Ren, and he turns to the dark side and goes to Kreese, which was so cool.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that. To that point, Tori and Robbie need to get together right now.
No.
Right now.
No.
I need beautiful people to be together with beautiful people.
Okay, Tori's character in general, like I like how they fleshed her out as like a caregiver.
Yeah,
and
she's
stuff,
cool.
But she knows that she's not perfect. Because Robbie does go in, it's like, yeah, just because your mom, you know, like is sick doesn't like give you an excuse to like do the things you do.
Yeah.
Old man who's like went to war. He's an American hero. Yeah. And like these adults keep being like, this guy is crazy. And like I love how they're actually taking it seriously and the fact that it's like, this is a very crazy, unreal story set in this real universe. So they can't just solve everything by calling the police.
Absolutely.
Which was like a big gripe from those who I watched this series. It's like, oh, they should have just called the police. It would have fixed everything.
Yeah, it's really funny. For sure, the way he does that. And we saw that kind of at the All Valley tournament too, where like he was trying to manipulate and Johnny and Daniel were fighting their own arguments there. And the kids had to step up and kind of save the tournament committee thing. But yeah, season three was great. Excited to see how it shapes up. We'd have our competing factions now. I think that's kind of how it's going to stay. Mm-hmm. And it's really going to be fun to just see Johnny and Daniel bounce off each other and their ways in teaching and whatnot. It's going to be hilarious.
What do you think the new JoJo's name is going to be? Because it's Eagle Fang and then Miyagi. Do you think it's going to be like Miyagi Fang or something? Or like,
that's a good point. I think they will change it to something more unified at some point. But I'll leave that. Comment below and tell us what you think the new dojo will be.
Like, surprise, and buy ASICS premium shoes today.
But yeah, anyways, it's going to be very interesting to see how it continues in season four. It better come out soon because I can't take it.
Yeah, like honestly, like,
I mean, it's not going to come out soon, but it better come out
this month,
next year.
Must come out 1 week from now.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
or
we'll
I've got a gun.
Start bad mouthing.
And I'm going to put holding it to Robert's head. No. I'm going to pull the trigger.
No, don't do it.
He's got a gun.
I'm the family.
Yeah, but it better happen.
Please help me. He's crazy.
Any last thoughts on Cobra Kai, Robert?
Yeah, really nice to see Daniel and Miguel finally meet.
Yeah!
That was just...
That was cool.
Is that my drum in your pocket?
Yeah. Is that my Okinawa drum in your pocket? Or are you glad to see me?
No, but literally, like...
Yeah, oh my god. I'm so happy Sam and Miguel are back together.
Right? Yeah, the octopus and everything.
And then Eli and Dimitri are best friends again.
Oh yeah, binary brothers for life.
Binary brothers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's great to see. We have our characters all set up. I love it. We really have good, strong characters that you love and care for. Good. You have it, Robbie, Tori, and the bully whose name I forget. On
Hawk?
Kreese's side? No.
The bully. Oh, you mean like the secondary character?
The guy who bullied Miguel in season one.
Oh, it's like Ben or something. I don't know.
Ben? I think it's Ben.
That's just a generic bully name. Ben the bully.
Blah, 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 blah. Kreese uses the opportunity to try and murder Johnny. Wow. He was really going to kill him, wasn't he?
Oh, so was Hawk. Hawk was like turned to the dark side too before he was redeemed. Like he destroyed one of the bullies. Like he was like...
Oh yeah,
he like just Kyler just finishing him, and he was just like on top of him, just like raging down.
Wasn't gonna kill him. Kreese is actually gonna try to murder him. It would have been funny.
It's like Kreese just like comes in with like a shovel behind Johnny, just like bumps him on the head.
Yeah, but anyways, you have Tori, Robbie, Kyler on Kreese's side, then you have Hawk, Sam, Miguel, and I guess Dimitri kind of on the Miyagi Fang side.
Also, Dimitri gets the girlfriend.
Oh my god, yeah, that was the funniest thing.
Like the bully from season one.
The girl, right?
Yeah,
the blonde
like,
girl.
Like the blonde bully who like bullied.
That was the funniest thing. Oh, that was so good.
Dude, she's like, what the hell's going on?
That was awesome. It was good. And obviously, we didn't talk last episode where they literally break into Daniel's house and start just beating people.
Yeah,
up.
It's like,
how do you not call,
the cops? Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure you can, like, and you literally, like, threw that, like, one of the small kids through a window.
Yeah, it was intense. I liked how that last episode played out. I think that was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really speaks, the show speaks to belonging, parental roles. Mm-hmm. All sorts of universal stuff that people eat up.
But Daniel's definitely going to teach everyone how to paralyze people for short spurts of time.
Yeah.
Then every single fight's going to be like, paralyze, 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 and then fight's over.
Okay, we've tried to wrap this up a bunch of times, but just to add on, let's talk about the Okinawa pieces a bit.
Yeah.
I really liked how that played out. It was integrated well into the plot.
Gave Daniel's character something to do, a bit of redemption.
Yeah. I liked Sato. He was really funny because he was so gruff and like intense in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then he does the thing with the honk on the nose.
Just really pinched my nose. Yeah, and you could have just said it. You didn't actually have to honk my nose.
I didn't know if you'd understand. But then he did that and I died. That was the funniest thing.
No, but like it's like, you know, I was so worried because I don't know at that point Miguel was walking or not. I was worried that Daniel was going to come back and he was going to use like paralyzing Okinawa magic stuff, like Mr. Miyagi in like the end of Karate Kid 1 to like fix Miguel's like paralyzed body by hitting the pressure points. I was so worried. I was so worried Daniel was going to be like, oh, I can fix that. And
he
was
wah,
bam, you can walk again.
Also, sorry, his name is Shosen, not Sato. I think Sato was his father or uncle. Yeah. but yeah, again, to go on a tangent from our initial tangent, it was really painful and funny to see how Johnny was trying to rehabilitate Miguel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was, like torturing him. Yeah.
Lighting his leg on fire.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, yeah, yoy.
And also, Johnny gets together with Miguel's mom at the end, Tori. Or not Tori.
Whoa.
Not Tori. Tori's the...
Yeah, Miguel's else. Mom.
Yeah, Miguel's mom.
Starts with an E, I want to say.
Not Edna. We're bad with names. We should probably got the cast list up here.
Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and
they don't get together at the end. They do get together,
and then like Johnny,
and
then Johnny gets a text from what's her face,
Allie,
and it's like, I would be like Johnny, I know. Better not.
If absolutely,
you do that. Like she's like so nice.
No,
if you do that to her, I will. Murder
absolutely,
you,
I was really pissed that he was gonna do that. Thankfully, it didn't happen. Thank you, writers. That'd have been absolute garbage. It was perfect. It was so cool. It was dealt with really well as a way to service, to have the characters move forward rather than bring a character from the past and have them continue to get bogged down in that past.
Because we've seen them a million times before. Like we've seen them like, you know, John, because we have so many thoughts. This is the first time we really went into it.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't know, like we've seen them before, Daniel and Johnny, just like trying to be friends. Beginning of the season, you know, it's like, this is our son. And them constantly messing it up or having Kreese go in between them or having the past wreck it all again. Like the restaurant in the second season, just like all these things are coming between them because they're not so different. And that's what Adley really points out. The fact that they are the same person. They're both dealing with the same things and they can help each other out and learn from each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel it?
I can't wait to
in the air tonight, Joshua.
I do. I can't wait to rewatch the season. I started rewatching the first season, so I can't wait to go through it again. And yeah, it was great. I'm so happy I watched it. It was one of the smash. It was along with Teenage Bounty Hunters and...
Your favorite show, yes, Teenage Bounty Hunters.
What else did I watch in 2020? Just Teenage Bounty Hunters on repeat.
Yeah. Just constantly, just 42 hours. Like, you will get that show renewed if you were to watch it the 72 billion more times.
Oh, watch the Scream TV show. That was good. I watched some good TV, some good garbage teen dramas in 2020, and I'm so here for it.
Best kind.
Cobra Kai was great.